If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Romans chapter 12. Sure good to be with all of you today. Hallelujah. I mean that. This is a highlight of my week right here. Praise God. God wants to do something in this service. He wants to bless you. He wants to speak to you. Hallelujah. And, you know, sometimes the supernatural doesn't look spectacular, right? I've told you that before. And there's not really much spectacular about this in the sense of, you know, I like this building. It's a nice building, but I wouldn't say it's spectacular looking. You know, I've seen some spectacular looking buildings. I'm thankful for it. It's really nice. Not really much spectacular looking about me. I mean, I'm just, you know, really short and got gray hair and things like that. You know, I mean, I'm just kind of normal. But what is spectacular and what's supernatural, maybe the spectacular is not there, but what's supernatural is that God can speak to every heart here this morning. And that God's going to say something to you that is pertinent to your life that's going to help you go out of here and be changed, be blessed, and be helped. That's spectacular in itself, even though it might not look it. Hallelujah. So let's pray and believe God for utterance this morning. Father, we are grateful to be here. Father, we honor you this morning. It's all because of you. Lord, we're not here to magnify the name on the sign or the name of the preacher. We're here to magnify Jesus and his plan. And Father, this is where people get help, Lord. You told Peter 3 times. You asked him, "Do you love me, Peter?" And every time he answered, "You know I do, Lord." And you told him all 3 times, "Then feed my sheep." Father, you're interested in your sheep being fed the Word of God. For it is the Word of God that is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Hallelujah. It is the sincere milk of the Word that we grow thereby. Man shall not truly live by bread alone, but if we're going to truly live, we need the Word of God. So we thank you for it. I thank you. I'll say something today that strikes a chord in every single person's heart that is exactly where they're at, exactly where they're living, exactly what they're going through, Father. And Lord, I pray that they wouldn't miss that, that they would recognize that that is supernatural, that that is God Almighty speaking to them. And Father, we'll make sure to give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Romans 12 and verse 2, it says this, it says, "Be not conformed to the world." Man, we could stop there and preach for weeks on that. Hallelujah. You know, there's such a pull from the world. And, you know, the things of God are becoming more obsolete. I mean, you even just see it in politics. You see it in schools. You see it in the news. And God's getting pushed out. Well, the Bible says don't be conformed to the world, even though the world's trying to get you conformed to it, right? Be not conformed to the world. Because here's the thing. You got to know who's ruling the world. You see, it's like this. I always tell somebody be careful what kingdom you're in, praise God, because there's 2 kingdoms that operate on planet Earth, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. Well, the devil's the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says. And so why would we want to be conformed to that world? Why would we want to align ourselves up with that, praise God? We wouldn't. But it says to be transformed or be changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, isn't the perfect will of God what we strive for? I'm talking dead center, the perfect will of God. That in that perfect will is where you find all his blessings for your life. The protection, the favor, the peace, the prosperity, the health, the things that just seem to fall in place for you. Praise God. It's on his plan. You know, we got to do things his way. You know, I think about Lot, and it's just popped into my spirit, so this will help. This is for right here and now. Lot was somebody that was, the Bible called, a righteous man and was serving with Abraham. And they had grown to be so wealthy. And you know, isn't it interesting? The Bible says Abraham was very wealthy in cattle, silver, and gold, and that was God's man that he chose. Yes. God don't have a problem with prosperity. He has a problem when prosperity has you. Right. But notice the man that he cut covenant with, that the lineage of Jesus Christ came out of, was a man that was very wealthy in cattle, silver, and gold. Well, Lot was too, and the Bible says Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's the herdsmen, they got into strife, and Abraham said, "It's not good." Abraham was a godly man. He knew strife was not of God. The Bible says where strife is, there's evil and there's confusion in every evil work. So if you got strife in your homes, be the peacemaker. Say, "Well, I'm not the one that was wrong." Be the peacemaker. Be the peacemaker. When you understand the dangers of strife, you don't care who's right or who's wrong. Right? Pray. It's not about being right, it's about getting it right. So many people want to be right and make sure that, you know, make sure to state your case. No, I want to get it right. I can't afford strife. Hallelujah. And so, well, anyways, they got in strife, and Abraham knew a godly man, and he said, listen, this ain't right. You go your way, I'll go my way. Well, the sad thing was, one of two things happened. Abraham chose to go the way of God, didn't he? He obeyed God in everything he did. Lot, the Bible said, lifted up his eyes and chose for himself. We know where he went. He went to Sodom and Gomorrah. He looked up and saw how well-watered it was, how awesome it looked in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, wow, that looks good naturally. I'm going to go that way. What was he doing? His own thing. Do you think it was the plan of God to send him to a city that was going to end up killing his wife? Oh, you look at Lot's life and everything that happened. That was a direct result from getting outside of the plan of God. What are we talking about? Abraham was in the perfect will of God. Lot wasn't. And we saw Lot suffer because of that. So that's our goal, is to get into the perfect will of God. That's never going to be a possibility until you renew your mind.
Right.
And what am I talking about this morning? Renewing your mind to the Word of God. Renewing your mind to the Word of God. The Bible says to be not conformed to the world, but be conformed to God's ways, right? Which is the Word of God. And let me just say this. Maybe you'll take this as being bold, but it's the truth. The people that are the most victorious in life, the people that are dominating in their circumstances and in their lives, are the ones that just take the Word of God as is. That this becomes their reality in life. They don't argue with it. They don't disagree with it. They don't question it. They don't reason with it. They don't doubt it. This is their reality. What's that called? It's called being good ground. The good ground are the people that take the Word of God and just, this is my reality. If the word said it, that settles it, right? God said it, that settles it. The people that reason with it, I don't know, doubt it, argue with it, question it, they're not the ones that are the good ground. And the good ground are the ones that produce the most fruit, praise God. And so, hallelujah, or think their ways better. It's amazing to me how people think their ways better than God's ways. Oh, Lord, that's where they get in trouble. But the people that are the most successful will take the Word and what it says and say, okay, that's my new reality. That's my new standard of life. If that's what the Bible says about me, that's what I am. You know, the Bible calls the Word of God like a mirror. And James says that you look and you see your reflection in the Word of God. Well, I know this about a mirror. A mirror don't lie. As much as I'd like to change how tall I am, because I always have dreams about slam dunking a basketball. It's going to always just stay in my dreams. Praise the Lord. And no matter how much maybe you had a bad hair day, or maybe you got out of a meeting, or I use the example, right? True love is when you can tell someone they got a booger on their nose, right? Or something on their face. And I'll tell you, especially you front row people, if I'm preaching, I got a booger on my nose, and you don't tell me during service, you don't love me. You don't love me. And as much as I go into the bathroom after and look in the mirror and wish it was different, that's my reality. That was there, right? You wake up, or maybe you come home and you had something on the corner of your mouth all day, and you're like, oh, Lord, I hope that wasn't there. But you know it was, because it was the tuna fish sandwich you had for lunch. So the whole day it's been there, right? Praise God. And we're talking. See, I told you I'd hit bullseyes where you live. This is all right where you're at, right? But you want that to be different, but you can't, because the mirror don't lie. It's the same with the Word of God. You look in that. Now, see, the wonderful thing about the Word is we don't wish it could be different, because all this is filled with blessing and wonderful promises. But until you get your mind renewed to what the Word says, and today's one of those topics and messages. You can argue with me all you want. You can reason with me all you want. You can say this and that. But until you get to the place where you believe the Word on this and go forward, you'll never be as victorious as God wants you to be. What am I talking about? Well, let's look in chapter 8 of the same book, Romans 8 and verse 1. That's what we're talking about, renewing our mind. The Word's my reality. You know, that's why people struggle financially. The Word says to do something and they reason with it. They argue with, oh, tithing, oh, I don't know. I had somebody tell me that the Lord told them not to tithe. I said, no, he didn't. He'd be a liar if he did.
Right.
But people reason with it and they argue with the Word. I don't know. That's why people struggle with their love walk. Bible says just to love. No matter what people do, just love them. Right. Just be a blessing. Well, I don't know. Reason with that. People struggle. And you don't want to reason with the Word of God. The Word is your... That's why people struggle with their healing. Because they're feeling Christians. The Bible says never to walk by feelings. You know, there's times that the feelings will point to the exact contradiction of what the Word says. That's where faith comes in. You don't need faith if everything lines up. That's why God gave us faith, to change the natural to look like this. And that's why people struggle with healing. They don't believe they're healed until it shows up in their body. Well, God said that's the wrong order. They don't believe they're rich until it shows up in their checkbook. That's the wrong order. The right order is you believe the Word and then that changes. You never need faith if everything looked perfect. Faith is what changes it. That's what we shared last night, to stir people up. You know, I knew that a lot of visitors coming in, Lord changed the message last minute. And I think people were really excited to know that life doesn't have to be the way it is. That faith is what changes the natural. You don't have to live with the lot you've been dealt in life, or the deck that you, or the cards that you've been dealt. You're not stuck with those. Say, well, I grew up in poverty. Well, so what? Change it. Well, I grew up with a lineage of sickness and disease and running through great grandma and mom and dad. So what? Change it. Be different. Praise God. Because the Word says you can be. That's what I'm saying. Don't be different on your own. Be different through God. But Romans 8 and verse 1 says this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Let me read that again and we're going to break some things down. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. First of all, condemnation is blame and guilt. That's what condemnation is. Blame and guilt. Well, the Bible says there is therefore now. You know, I just thought I'd be real extra smart this weekend. And I actually looked up what that word meant, now. That word now means at the present moment. Well, guess what the present moment is?
Now.
We're here. Yeah. We're here. Now. There is therefore now, at the present moment. Now the next word says no. We always tell Caleb when he no means no. It doesn't mean go. Sometimes say no, he just goes in. Listen, that doesn't mean go. I didn't say go. I said no. Right? There is therefore now no. You know, I looked up the word no. Because I tell you, some people struggle. I wonder if some people know what the word no means by the way they live their life. There is therefore now no. The word no means not any. So the Bible's telling you that at the present moment, which is right now, there's not any blame or guilt that can be attributed to your life. Now, here's the thing that people have to understand. As people are going around trying to be victorious, trying to be faith giants, and they look like they're going to the airport. They got bags and they got rollers, and it's just baggage of condemnation, baggage of guilt, baggage of shame, baggage of past failures, baggage of past mistakes, and you're carrying it around with you everywhere. You see, there's certain things. You see, God wants to take you somewhere. He does. He wants to take you somewhere. He wants to take you to blessing. He wants to take you to prosperity. He wants to take you to peace. He wants to take you to joy. He wants to take it to where your family's serving God, to where there's divine protection over your family. People say this, you need to watch your words. People say to me, well, they're going on a trip. Lord willing, I'll see you. Well, the Lord's willing. The Lord's willing. The Bible says in Psalm 91, with long life I'll satisfy you. The Bible says that all those verses on protection, now we have a part to play. Faith is our part. There's always a God-word side. There's a man-word side. God-word side was, I provided this all for you. Faith. Man-word side is faith to receive it and to take hold of it.
Amen.
And people are carrying around baggage, and they're not being allowed on the plane, because there's certain things you can't take on an airplane with you. Right? There's certain things that you are not allowed to take on an airplane with you. You know, bombs. Those are frowned against, you know. Weapons, unless you're, you know, authorized to be able to do so. And even if you do, you're going on a hunting trip. Man, it's a big rigmarole to check that thing and to fill out paperwork for it and stuff. I mean, there's certain even liquids and stuff you can't have on the plane with you, and certain amounts and different things. They won't let you get to your destination until you do something about that. Well, I'm here to tell you today, you'll never get to that destination of blessing and peace and joy and victory until you deal with condemnation. And see, if you will renew your mind to the Word of God, today it ends. Today you walk out of here free. Today you walk out of here as if you never missed it ever. Today you walk out of here with not one bit of shame, not one bit of guilt, not one bit of sorrow and regret. God's not in the business of regret. He says there is therefore now. Now what I love about this is no. Because instantly people will think in their mind, well, but you don't know what I've done. That covers it. Not any. Not any. Now here's what I want you to see. We're going to check our bags this morning, right now. We're going to check our bags, see what we're carrying on this flight to our destination. Now, I'm going to show you in a second why you can't get to the places. Because how do we get to God's blessings? Through what? Faith. The channel of faith. You can't be a faith giant in condemnation. Condemnation is a faith killer. It squashes faith. And I'm going to show you that in the Word. You'll never get to God's destination for your life if you have any bit of condemnation. Or should I say it this way? The God's perfect will for your life. Some people are satisfied with the status quo. I'm not. I want everything that God has for me. I remember being in a service when I got saved January 10th, 2002. And in the spring, I went to a Kevin and Annie Durant service at the Fredonia Church. In the spring, they came in. And I got on fire for God. I was hungry. I thought, wow, this is amazing, all the wonderful things. But I saw some things in that service that I didn't understand. I used to think the people raising their hands and shouting out of their mouth. I thought, man, they must have went into the grocery store over in the granola section, the fruity, the flaky, and the nutty. And they must have grabbed them and brought them into church until I saw the Word that God loves it when we lift our hands. It says, bless the Lord, lift your hands. The Lord loves it when we praise Him out of our mouth. So I thought that was weird, and then I got my mind renewed to the Word on that. Saw they weren't the fruity, flaky, and nutty ones. I was. I didn't know. I was taking up residency. And I saw some things being in these guest minister meetings. The Bible talks about, we're not talking about this today, but the Bible talks about evangelistic services, and the Bible talks about believer meetings, where it's not, a Sunday morning is more of an evangelistic, an outreach type of service. But sometimes you have these guest ministers, that's when the body of Christ can come together, the flow of the Spirit can happen a lot more, and we can start seeing some of these deeper things that maybe you wouldn't see on a Sunday morning. Well, I saw people getting hands laid on them and falling out into the power. I saw what the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the gifts of the Spirit with tongues and interpretation of tongues. I mean, I saw things that just blew my natural mind. But I went home after it was either the second or third night of the service, and I said, Lord, I said, I know my pastor well enough that in these 4 or 5 months that I've known him and been around him, he's only ever shared the Word of God. That everything's been backed up by the Bible. I said, I know I don't know. I'm smart enough to know that I don't know very much about this. I said, it's really blowing my mind and blowing the natural tendencies that I have. And it's causing me not to receive in these meetings. And I said, Lord, I know He'll explain this by the Bible afterwards when I sit down to Him. You know, when you the best thing to do is ask, just ask. I ask, when I go, my pastor is humble and as honorable as I can. I say, Pastor, I don't understand this, what happened, or what did you mean by this in the service? I mean, that's what a pastor wants, to be able to explain to people and help people. We don't want you to be in the dark. I said, I know. If I go talk to him, he'll let me know and he'll show me in the Word. He doesn't want to do anything that's not backed up by the Word. See, we don't want to do anything that's not backed up by the Word. I got kids that need to be safe. I got a body and finances and a family and different things like that. I don't want to do anything wrong. I want to be biblical by the Word. And so I said, oh, you know, Lord, I'll ask him after. Again, we're talking about that perfect will of God. And so I went home that night and I said, Lord, if there's more of you to be had, I want it. Regardless of what my mind is telling me and my flesh feels, if there's more of you to be had, I want more of you. I don't understand people that will hear a message on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, will hear all the benefits of praying in tongues, and I'll say to them, don't leave this service here. Make sure you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You're missing out. I don't understand how people just leave that on the table and walk away. I get the fact that it's a little different to your mind, and it's maybe not what you've been brought up hearing and teaching, but you can't deny the benefits of it. You know, Paul said, and we're not talking about tongues today. He said, I thank my God more than you all that I speak in tongues. He was bragging about it. The greatest apostle that ever lived was bragging about saying, I thank my God more than you all that I pray in tongues. And then we'll preach a message on tongues, and there's people that aren't filled, and we'll say, listen, don't leave that there, and they'll walk away. And I don't understand why people would want the status quo. Why wouldn't you want the best? So I went home that night, and I said, Lord, I want more of you. If there's more of you to be had and understood, I want it. My goodness, I want it. You're only good. You're not going to hurt me. And so here's what I did. For the next 30 minutes to an hour, this is a true story. I got on my face and I cried out to God and I said, this is all I said, Lord, I want more of you. Lord, I want more of you. And I was crying, Lord, I want more of you. You know, when it will do you a favor, do yourself a favor and just know this, you don't know it all. That's real nice, wasn't it? Real nice of me. Thanks, Pastor. Thanks for calling me a dummy. That's not what I was doing. But just do yourself a favor. You don't know it all. When you realize that, then you're teachable. The people that aren't teachable are the ones that have problems. Oh, I know it all. That's pride. Just say you don't know it all. I readily admit there's way more I don't know than I do know. And I mean that. I'm not just saying it to sound humble. There's way more I don't know than I do know. And so I said, Lord, I want more of you. For a half an hour to an hour, just cry out. That's all I said. Lord, I want more of you. Well, in the middle of the next service, we're talking about maybe 100, 150 people in the service. Kevin Durant's preaching, and I'm sitting back maybe, probably in the church would be about in the last row in our church, in the Fredonia church, if you're talking about proximity to where the minister was. I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting, you know, in the seat with, I believe I was sitting next to Pastor Tim, who wasn't Pastor Tim at the time, and Reverend Randy. And that's not important who I was sitting next to, but he's preaching a message. And he stops his message. Like, you could tell he got arrested by the Holy Ghost in his heart to do something. I mean, stopped in front of the whole church. Nobody's getting hands laid on him. Nobody's being ministered to. And I remember the night before, what am I saying? Lord, I want more of you. Lord, I want more. Kevin Durant, the minister, preaching. I mean, you ever heard him preach? He preaches fire. Oh, boy. And he's blah, 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 you know, the Word of God, just letting it go, and then boom, stops. And he starts walking down the aisle, and he points to me. And I'll tell you, you'll really, when you're self-conscious, you love when people do this to you. And he says, stand out in the aisle. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Tell him no for the whole church? So I'm like, okay. I stand out there. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? You know what he said to me? He said, he squinted his eyes. You want more of God, don't you? What was I saying the whole night before? Now, he was not in my bedroom. He was not. He didn't bug my house and wiretap me. And he says to me, you want more of God, don't you? How'd he know? God told him. I'm crying out, Lord, I want more of you, because the thing that was tripping me up was hands being laid on people. People falling down. I hadn't seen it in the Word that it was biblical, that when the power of God hits you, you can go down. And he came towards me, and this is how I describe it. It felt like I got hit with a baseball bat, but it didn't hurt, just the force of it. And I flew back into usher's arms. First time ever happened to me. Power of God hit me. And after the service, I was kind of joking. I said, how hard did he hit me? And Pastor Tim and Reverend Randy said to me, he didn't get 2 feet within you. He never laid a hand on you. The power of God knocked me on my rear end. Well, it did to Paul too on the road to Damascus. The Bible says Paul hit the dust. Yeah, it's biblical. There's other places we could look at too. But the point was that I wanted all of God. I was hungry for all of Him. Why would we want to settle with the status quo? Why not get everything that God has for us today? Praise God. So we're going to check our baggage to make sure that we're going on the flight to get to the blessing that God has for us, to make sure that we're allowed on there. So let me ask you a few questions here, and you check your own baggage. Don't be going like this to someone. I think he's talking about you. Oh, or, you know, someone stands up, hey, that's for you. You know, check your own baggage. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. Well, anyways, let me ask you this about condemnation. Remember what it is. It's blame, it's guilt, it's regret, it's shame. What about any, are you dealing with, don't answer out loud. Are you dealing with any guilt, shame, regret in any relationships? I'm talking marriages, I'm talking parenting, I'm talking about friendships, maybe boyfriend, girlfriend, any type of guilt, shame, regret. Are you carrying any of that around? Any regrets, any condemnation? If you are, it's baggage that's holding you back. What about parents? Parenting. Let me go back to the first one. Because maybe you could say, Pastor, I messed up one marriage. I messed up two marriages. I messed up three marriages. I messed up. That's called guilt and condemnation and shame. Are you carrying it around? Anything you've done in a marriage? Anything you've done in a relationship? What about parents? Any parents in here today? We have some parents in here, don't we? Are you carrying around any shame, guilt, condemnation, regret For anything that how you raised your kids, what you've done for your kids, are you constantly sitting around thinking, oh, I wish I'd have done this different. Oh, I wish I would have done that. It's called baggage. And you're not allowed on the blessing flight. You're going to have to either leave those baggages off or you're going to have to get off the flight and not get on there. It's up to you. Whatever you want to do. If you don't want God's highest and best, you can get off the flight and keep carrying them around. Because the Word says there's no condemnation. None. Now, at the present moment. Are you carrying around guilt how you parented your children? Oh, if I'd have done this, if I'd have known that. Well, maybe you didn't know back then, but now you do. So now get some faith on your kids. Get some faith towards their directions. What about financially? Any financial decisions that you made that have caused your family to be hurting? Maybe you made a bad business deal, took a wrong job, didn't hear from heaven. Maybe you know, I've known of people, not anybody in here that I know of that I can think of off the top of my head, that have totally wrecked their whole family financially. You know, doing secret things with credit cards and taking bill money that's supposed to go for the bills and taking it out and doing whatever with it. Are you that person? Financially, you've destroyed things. You've messed things up. Are you carrying around guilt and shame? Oh, if it would just be so bad. Why don't you get your faith on your finances now going forward? Yeah. Praise the Lord. What about anything? Decisions that you've made in life that caused harm or held you back or held your family back or whatever. Check your baggage this morning. Is there any of that? I'm talking, see, if we're why I brought up that whole thing about me getting knocked on my butt wasn't for a good story. It was to show you I want all of God. I don't want any shred. Go back to Romans 8:1, Heather, if you would. I don't want any shred, any little bit of crumb of guilt, condemnation. If the Bible says that at the present moment there's none, there's not any condemnation, then I want that to be my reality. Praise God. And the people that are not good ground will sit there and reason with this. Well, I just can't get free of that. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how to... Stop it. Just accept what's been given to you. Oh, man. You know what one of the most frustrating things... I'm going to tell you my pet peeve. She's going to laugh. I'm going to tell you one of my pet peeves. Is when you try to do something nice for somebody and they won't take it. I mean, they fight you for it. And it becomes... The blessing you want to give them becomes so annoying, I wish I'd never even done it for you in the first place. And I understand to a point, it's hard to receive sometimes. I'm talking people just taking it to the extreme. No, I just can't accept that. No, I just don't want that. No, I don't want that. Oh! Just receive what I want. Now, I'm guilty of this a lot of times. I am. I'm guilty of it. I'm telling you that I'm guilty of that. But God's trying to give you a gift today. The gift of freedom. Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 8 and verse 1. Praise God. How does God think towards your wrong decisions, your wrong moves, your past failures, your sins? Now, we're going to read a story about a woman. It's not important to focus on what this woman's problem was. And you're going to see why. We're not talking about this problem here today. We're talking about all problems across the board. You need to see that, because if you just see that problem, you say, well, that's I've never experienced that, never had that. That's not what we're talking about, because Jesus, when he addressed her, wasn't talking about that specific problem either. Well, anyways, what am I talking about? John 8 and verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and Pharisees, notice this, brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. So her past was that. Someone else's past might be money. Someone else's past might be wrecking a marriage. Someone else's past might be financially messing up kids, doing whatever. Fill in the blank, right? But anyways, let's go on. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned, but what do you say, verse 6? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Praise God. You know, what's funny about that is people hear the word adultery and people don't understand that probably 90% of people have committed it, because Jesus said that if you look upon a woman to lust, you've already committed it in your heart. Yeah, people say, oh, never do that. Oh, be careful. You might have already done it 10, 20, 30, 40 times in your past. So be careful how you think, praise the Lord. Anyways, he says, he that is without sin among you cast the first stone. Of course, what happened? They all had to drop their rocks, didn't they? Now here's what I want you to know, is that Jesus didn't say he that is without adultery. See, he doesn't lump. He doesn't have these set standards of failures and past problems of this one's worse than the other. All sin put him on the cross. All sin killed him. To the smallest, whatever you think small in your mind, to the biggest to what you think in your mind, put him on the cross. The smallest sin separated us from God. Not just the big ones. Any bit of blemish or unrighteousness kept us from perfect fellowship with him. So he says sin as a whole. What's sin? Failures, regrets, wrongs, mistakes, past things, things you wish you could do different. But notice what he said. He that was about sin. And he stooped down and wrote on the ground, verse 8. In verse 9, they heard it being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? Condemnation. So now he's saying, lady, here he is with Jesus. Jesus was the physical representation of God on the earth, right? Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what my Father says. He was the God representative. So let's see what Jesus thinks about your past mistakes and failures. Because if there's any time for him to rip her a new one, I mean, this was fresh. They caught her in the act and brought her. If there's any time for Jesus to get on her and lay down the law and hammer her with this, it would be right now. But look at what he says. She said, there's no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. And he said, the remedy is just go and don't do it anymore. Just go and don't do it anymore. How sweet of him. How sweet of him. We as people like to hold people in that place of failure. But see, when are you going to stop worrying about what people think about you and only have the approval of God? One of the greatest deliverances you can ever have is from the opinion of man. Getting free from what people think about you. And when people, listen, you would be shocked at what family thinks about me. And I mean, I am the Fruit Loop at family gatherings. I mean, they think I've gone off my rocker. They think I'm crazy. The things they say about me, the things that people try to do to me because of the position that I'm in, the things that people say about me. Listen, I don't care. I'm not trying to get your approval. I'll just tell you this. I don't mean this mean. I love y'all, but I could give a flooty-tooty what you think about me. I mean it. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you think about me. I'm going to preach the Word of God and be faithful. Yeah. And you ought to not care what people think about you. Good. Well, this person thinks that. Who cares? What is the one you're going to have to answer to? Yeah. The one that's going to bless you say. And he said to her, just go and don't do it anymore. Hallelujah. Now let me show you this about condemnation. Because what we're trying to do is free you from every bit of it. You know, even on a flight, even though you might not have a big bag with a bomb in it, that you could have just a little carry-on and have the wrong thing inside there, and it could be so small, and they'll say, oh, you can't bring that on here. Yeah, you can keep it, but you can't come on the flight with it. You can just stay off the flight. See, so we're talking about getting rid of even the smallest bit of condemnation today. Because it'll hurt your ability to receive from God. Prove it. Okay. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Accepting what God has given to you. That becoming your reality. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. I'm going to show you how condemnation will hurt you. Here's what it says in Hebrews 4, 16. Let us therefore come with our tail between our legs. Let us therefore come squeamishly and trembling in voice. And it's one thing to tremble in voice out of reverence for him, but to come all, listen to how most people pray, oh Lord, if I were you, I wouldn't do anything for me, but if by chance your happy face would shine on me today, that ain't boldness. You know what boldness is? Going to God, knowing what belongs to you. Say it. It's like my son, Caleb, Friday we're going to the zoo. He has every right to come to me on Friday and say, I'm going to the zoo, Daddy. Let's go. Why? Daddy said so. He doesn't have to come, Daddy, did you really mean what you said? Because Daddy won't lie to Caleb. Don't lie to him. Praise God. And he knows. And here's the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy, to find grace, to help in the time of need. God says, if you want to get your help, He's the one we get it from, right? Bible says, you have not because you ask not. He wants us to come to Him and receive from Him. But the Bible says, if you're going to come, you have to come with boldness. You can't have it your way. We see this with the children of Israel. They moaned and groaned and complained, and God loved them. But He didn't bless them, did He? He couldn't. He would have been a violator of His word. You can't come to God with your tail between your legs, not knowing who you are, and all this condemnation and guilt attitude. Listen, condemnation and guilt is sin. It's sin. He says none of it anymore. And so here's what I want to show you, is that the Bible says if you're going to obtain the mercy and the grace and the help in the time of need, you're going to have to come with a certain way. You're going to have to come with an attitude of boldness. Let me show you a little silly example that shows you how guilt and shame and regret and condemnation crushes your boldness. Let's just use my son as an example. And it's not so much right now because he can't even reach to get cookies on his own. But someday Caleb's going to be able to go in the cupboard and reach the cookies on his own and get the cookies on his own. Let's say we're sitting down at dinner time. I'm going to show you how condemnation and shame and guilt will crush what you need to receive from God. And it'll make you motivated to take care of that today. Let's say Caleb's sitting down to eat and we have, you know, some vegetables there and mom just made some new chocolate chip cookies or whatever, some fresh ones, warm, smelling in the house. And he refuses to eat his vegetables, let's say. I mean, he won't even touch them. He's just putting up a fight. We say, okay, that's fine. But those cookies you smell, don't you even think about getting one of those. Okay? And then there's the other example. Caleb eats them all. We say, buddy, help yourself to cookies whenever you want to. Now let's picture this. I have an office upstairs. She's doing something else with Abby. And we come in, and Caleb sits at the table with cookie mark all over his face. Now, if he ate his vegetables, when I come down and walk in there, he's going to have boldness eating that thing. Oh, all over his face, not going to try to hide it. He's bold. Why? He knows he's right. But if he's wrong and did wrong, when I walk in, and if he's got that wrongness, and he knows I didn't eat my vegetables, and they've told me sternly, don't you dare touch the cookies, and I walk in, he's not going to be so bold to show me that cookie on his face. He's not going to be so bold to show the crumbs all over the table and exclaim how wonderful they taste and how good they are. He's going to be very, very timid, very, very ashamed, very, very shy. Why? He's wrong. He's wrong. When you feel like you're wrong all the time, when you feel like you're full of shame and guilt, you will not have boldness. You'll go to God and you'll think, you know, I messed that marriage up. I messed my child up. I did this wrong. And you'll never receive from Him because faith is what receives from Him. I'm sorry, there's no other way to do it. Faith receives from God. Praise the Lord. He would be a liar to do it any other way. And so if we carry these things into these prayers, we need money. We need, you know, you need some money. And the first thing you bring to Him in prayer is, Lord, I know that if I wouldn't have screwed that up financially, I'd have the money to do this now. Condemnation and guilt. He's not holding it against you. He wasn't holding it against that woman. He just said, go and don't do it anymore. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory. You go to release faith for your children. And immediately all you bring to prayer is, Lord, I know that maybe they're doing some of these things because of how we... Stop it. You're not going to receive from Him. Stop it. Stop it. Let us therefore come boldly. You'll never be bold carrying around that guilt and that shame and that condemnation. Praise God. 1 John 1 and verse 9. We'll fix the clothes here. What's that mean? Nothing. Fixing something. Fixing your wagon here today. Your condemnation wagon. I'm fixing your wagon. And it's a joy to do it. Praise God. I want people to be free. Don't you want to be free? Yeah. Praise the Lord. 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins. Now this is already talking to born again believers. That means they're already born again. That means they're already saved. That means they've messed up after they've been saved. People are all quick to think, well, yeah, I got forgiveness before I was saved. No, you got forgiveness when you're saved too. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much? All unrighteousness. Cleanse you. Cleanse you. So why are you bringing what was cleansed back into prayer with you? If you ask Him to forgive you for the things you failed on, the mistakes that you've made, why are you bringing it back? I know this, that I'm a messy eater. And a lot of times, like last night I was eating McDonald's on the way home. I know if I go home and look at my suit, I'll find ketchup marks. Because those hamburgers, why do they look so nice in the commercials, and then you get them and they're so sloppy looking? It's just not fair. And so I'll bring my stuff to a dry cleaner. And the spot will be on there. I'll even point it out to them. And I'll get it back, and that thing's, I don't even know, that thing's gone. So I'm not putting that shirt on. Oh, people are going to see that Pastor Mike's addicted to cheeseburgers. He's got ketchup stains all over his shirt. No, I'm going to put that on a clean, crisp shirt and be confident wearing it, because there's not one spot or blemish on that thing, because it's been cleansed. He says if you'll ask Him to forgive you, He will cleanse you. It'll be gone. You don't even know that spot ever even existed.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't. It's gone. White as snow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Philippians 4. So what am I saying? Deal with your stuff today. Amen. Deal with your baggage. Repent once and for all. Receive the forgiveness. Philippians 3 and verse 13. Anybody getting anything today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a faith killer. It'll squash your faith. It'll squash your faith. Philippians 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You say, well, I'm sure He doesn't have much to forget. He's the greatest apostle that ever lived. We're talking about a murderer of Christians. The Bible says Paul had breathed out murderous and threats and slaughter against the house of God. He stood there and held the coats of the people that stoned Stephen, and the Bible said he gave his approval. He was in charge of that stoning and said, yep, I'll hold your coats, you guys get them. Yeah. Murderer of Christians, the Saul of Tarsus, who was with the writer of two-thirds of the Bible, New Testament, was a murderer of Christians. And he says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward and reaching unto those things which are before. You know what, Paul, to be successful, to get all that God had for him, he had to become skillful in the area of forgetting. Yeah. Forgetting his failures. Don't you think the devil would have bombarded him about his past? I can't tell you how much the devil will come to me and say, how dare you get up in front of people and try to lead them with the things you've done in your past, with the things that you've had in your life. Who do you think you are? And then you hear it from people. But see, that's not where my joy is. That's not my reality. The thoughts that the devil give me are not my reality. The Word of God is my reality. And you can try to reason and argue with it and question all you want, but until you get to the place that you say, the Word says I'm forgiven, the Word says I'm free, the Word says I've never done it wrong, praise God. And we'll close with this verse, Isaiah 43. Praise the Lord. Until you get to that place, you see, the good ground will do that. The good ground will hear tithing and they'll tithe. The good ground will hear sowing and they'll sow. The good ground will hear love and they'll love. The good ground will hear forgetting their past and walking in forgiveness, and they'll do it. They'll do it. That's the good ground. That's the good ground. And thank God we choose what ground we walk in. It's not determined for us. It's determined by what we do. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. I. How many times? I mean, you've heard me preach a message like this before, but you know you're still carrying around things that are holding you back. You're still feeling bad about something. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. Your pastor has never made a mistake ever in his life, and you try to tell me different. Don't try to clash swords with me.
Yeah.
I'll pull my sword out and say, the Word says I've never done it wrong. The Word says I've never missed it. Say, but Pastor, no, you're missing something. I'm clean, free. You have a perfect pastor. Woo-hoo!
Hallelujah.
Yes, and God desires that for me. He desires that you walk out of here as people that have never missed it. He authorized you to be able to live that way. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions, thy past failures, thy mistakes. What you did wrong, that guilt and that shame. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. Notice this, for my own sake, He doesn't even do it for you. He does it for Him. And I will not remember your sins. If you're a true pleaser of God, and if He's most important, you don't give a rip what people think or say about you. God looks at me as if I've never done it wrong. How freeing is that? all the baggage and garbage, God says, I have a delete button. It's called the blood of Jesus. Remember, I know this is kind of a crude example. But back when I've told you this before, back when I was spending time in the bars and spending time being more drunk than sober, when you get drunk, you put on some things called beer goggles. And that which was once unattractive to you becomes a little more pretty. It's just the truth. But now, why am I saying that? I'm not trying to be crude. Jesus looks at you through the blood goggles. He puts those blood goggles on, and God puts the blood of Jesus goggles on, and what once wasn't attractive with sin and shame and guilt looks pretty, looks perfect, looks pure. Glory to God. Oh, you need to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. He sees you as clean. He says, I'll forgive you for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. So verse 25, he says, deal with your problem. That's the repenting. You deal with your problem, and I'm telling you what I'll do with it. And then verse 26, he says, now put me in remembrance. Let us plead together, declare now that you may be justified. What's that? That's us coming to prayer to receive what we need. He says in verse 25, deal with the past, the problems, because the past and the problems are keeping you from receiving and going forward. He says, I'm showing you in verse 25, I'll forgive it, I won't remember it. But in verse 26, I'm saying, now that that's dealt with, now come to me and receive of me. How bold would, let me ask you this, how bold would you be in prayer next time if you had never made a mistake ever? How bold would you be? Because Jesus was so bold because he was so righteous. Righteousness brings about a boldness. You're as righteous as Jesus Christ. The Bible says, I've made you the righteousness of God. How much more righteous can you get? How bold would you be if you never missed it in your marriage? If you never missed it in your finances, you never missed it in a relationship, you never missed it with your kids, how much more hop in your step, giddy up in your step, joy on your face would you have if you walked around and say, I'm free, never happened, never did it, never did it. That's not me. I live by the standards of the Word of God, not by the world. The world would say, hold on to that and regret and bring it up all the time. No, no, it's gone, it's free. What's it like having a perfect pastor? Is that pretty cool?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's pretty neat having a perfect congregation. I can say that I pastor a perfect church. Perfect church that's never missed it. That's never missed it. That's walking in the freedom of what Jesus has provided. So deal with your stuff. Deal with it. And then receive. Be good ground. What you need to renew your mind to that word. I don't care if you spend all week in Romans 8:1 until you get to the point where you say, no condemnation. No condemnation. And the devil bring a thought, you say, I'm sorry, no condemnation. It's already been paid for. It's already been paid for. You know, I went to school one time in Raymond. Someone paid for my tuition, $300. Someone surprised me, didn't tell me who it was. You know what I didn't do? Please take my money. No, it was already paid for. No, no, please, I want to pay for it. Already paid for.
Right.
It's already been paid for. You tell the devil, when he comes with thoughts, yeah, but what about when you did this? It's already been paid for. That's not my responsibility anymore. It's not on my account anymore. It's gone. It's wiped clean. Devil, sorry, idiot. You're going to burn in hell forever. You're not going to have any freedom of release. I can be redeemed. You can't. You're going to spend eternity like a fire. I'll tell you, you start trash talking the devil. He talks to you enough, doesn't he? Start talking back to him and put him in his place. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. We love you today. We're so grateful to hear what you have for us. Lord, the awesome thing about it is you authorized it. It's your plan for us to be free. The world and what we're used to with people is people will hold us in that place of guilt. They'll make us pay and pay and pay and pay. That's not how you are. And you do it for your sake. You want us to be free. You want us to be forgiven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you for that freedom. Let's just accept that freedom today. Hallelujah. You said it, Lord. We're going to renew our minds. The Word is our reality. Right now, at this present time, there is no guilt, no shame, no condemnation, no sadness at all. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you, Father, for the freedom that you offer us from the blood of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that we can walk out of here as if we've never done it wrong. That, Lord, you're not calling it arrogance when we're bold. You call it boldness. You want us. You said to receive from you, we need to be bold. will never be bold with shame and guilt. Caleb would never be bold if he was doing something that he knew he wasn't supposed to be doing and carrying around that weight of that wrongdoing. So, Father, we thank you for your mercy. In those areas that we're continuing to struggle in, Father, we're going to start getting help for those things, and we're going to go forward in holiness. And, Father, even if we've messed up a million times, we're going to repent for the million and one time, and you're going to forgive us. And you won't even know about the million times we repented because you said you would not remember our sins. So, Father, we thank you for that mercy and that grace. With heads bowed, eyes closed, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? You can know for sure by receiving Jesus. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. It has nothing to do with church attendance. It has nothing to do with how much money you've given. Your good works can't get you in and your bad works can't keep you out if you call on the name of the Lord. So if you're here today and you could say, I don't know Jesus, but we're not going to embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. You won't come to the front. You won't have to stand up or say anything on your own. But if you want to receive Jesus here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand in the air? Anybody at all here in the service? Anybody at all as I look around? I don't know everybody personally. That's why we do this. Father, I don't see any hands raised, so I trust we're all saved, born again. If by chance somebody under the sound of my voice in this service, live stream right now or live stream in the future is not born again, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus their Lord. And Father, it's so simple for them to do it. All they have to do is cry out to you. Just say, I believe in Jesus. I believe you died and rose again, and I want you to be a part of my life. So Father, we thank you for your mercy today, Father. We're gonna deal with our baggage and then we're gonna walk baggage free. Hallelujah. And we're gonna walk in the freedom of what the Word says we can. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30, and then back again next Sunday at 10. Don't forget, get your giving letters on the way out. You're dismissed. Have an awesome week.